all right now. Good. Welcome, everyone, to Conference 2022. We have passed through some dark days, and this is the first time of a face-to-face Bible conference since 2019. And we are very happy for those who are in attendance, and we look forward for a real time of blessing over these days of conference. So as Brother Kempton has said, that the evening meetings are changed. So we have assigned speakers, and I have been assigned to speak this evening. As somebody say, that when the gathering are so many different nations, that it is wise to speak timely, because not everybody can pick up our language and our accent. So I hope to do so, and also I hope not to keep you long. I know some of you are coming from work. Some of you have traveled long distance to get here. And so I hope to get on with it as quick as possible. So tonight, the judge that I will be taking up is Othniel. When I was driving in, the first person I met was Othniel. And you say, who is that? Jonathan Othniel. He was driving out. And then after that, I met the father of Othniel again. So there are quite a few Othniel. Brother Hinton Lee have a son by the name of Othniel, Stephen Othniel. Yeah, so he's a popular man here at camp at Ocean View. So there are many verses to be read, but I'm not going to read many verses. I'm going to ask us to turn to Judges chapter 3. Judges chapter 3, and I'm reading from verse 1. Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan. Only that the generation of the children of Israel might know to teach them war at the least, such as before knew nothing thereof. Namely, five lords of the Philistines and all the Canaanites and the Sidonian and the Hivites that dwell in the Lebanon, from the Mount Baal Hermon and to the entrance of Hamath. And they were to prove Israel by them to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons and served their gods. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God and served Baalim and the grove. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Macedonia. And the children of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, the Lord raise up a deliverer to the children of Israel, who deliver them, even Othniel, the son of Kezad, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel, and went out to war, and the Lord delivered Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Macedonia, into his hand. And his hand prevailed against Cushan-Rishathaim, and the land had rest 40 years, and Othniel, the son of Kezad, died. The judges present some dark picture. It is a time of defeat, a time of failures, and also a time of victory, but it's also a time of restoration. And our theme for this conference is restoration. And that was what the judges present to us, restoration, to restore things for God among the children of Israel. One of the things you will find in the book of Judges is a statement that in those days there were no king. Not true. There was king in those days, but the king was not recognized. The king was there, but he was not recognized. I think Gideon have some sight of the king. When they asked him to reign over them, he said, no, the Lord will reign over you. Samuel know the king well. And so when they asked for a king, he wept and he mourned because the king was there and they have rejected him. So the idea that there was no king in Israel at the time, in a sense, was not quite true. I understand what is meant, but it is not quite true because the shout of the king remained among them, as Balaam has said. And so that he has not departed from them, but they have departed from him. Now, we find a number of the nations that was left to test Israel, to prove them. And sometimes the Lord allowed these things and what these nations represent to be amongst us, to be a bother to us, to stir us up, to cause us to look upward, to look out of ourselves and to see the Lord. Now, I like to say that one of the first thing I observe here in verse 5 is that the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. It's not that they dwell among Israel, it's Israel dwelling among them. And that is sad also. The land was given to Israel to take possession of it, but here, not these nations dwelling among Israel, but Israel dwelling among them. It's Israel coming like they are the squatters, so to speak. And what happened? They learned their ways. And they began to give their daughters to these nations in marriage. And they take these nations' sons for their wives, for their husbands. And what happened? We are told that, as was said before by Moses, you shall not do this, because these girls will lead you away from the true and living God. It happened to Solomon. Solomon was to write out a copy of the law and meditate, reading it and meditating it night and day. But whether he wrote it out or not, I am not sure, but he multiplied wives. And the last end of Solomon was not pleasant. We are told that his wives turn away his heart from the Lord. That is the The first thing that we see here, it is a social matter, but it moved from social to that which is spiritual. Because we're told that verse 7, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forget their God, and serve Baalim and the grove. Therefore the Lord's anger was hot against Israel. When you provoke God in these ways, with things that he condemned, and when we look at it as a light thing, that wherein men lay down their lives in the past for these things, and we treat it as trivial, as light matters, it caused the Lord's anger to grow hot. So what did the Lord do? The Lord sold them into the hand of the Mesopotamian king for 8 years. 8 years. Krishan Rishtaim. I understand that he is the only king of Mesopotamia. Well, at least that's the only one who was named. So he is the only named king of the Mesopotamian. And Mesopotamia here stands as a picture of the world. And many of the countries of the world stand as a picture of the world. And Egypt, in their independence of God, they only look to the Nile. They don't know that the water that supplied the Nile fell higher up, come from heaven. But they look to the Nile. I have my Nile, and they don't have to serve. Pharaoh says to Moses, "Who is the Lord? I know not the Lord. Neither will I obey his voice." Big, bad, and bossy. But God deal with him. God drowned him, well, his armies, in the Red Sea. And anyone who will rise up against God, God have the ability, and he has the ability to deal with them. Like Nebuchadnezzar, he sent him go eat grass. Here is this man, and understand his name means double wickedness. This man, we just say Cushan. His name means double wickedness. And that's the man that God allowed to train Israel, to discipline Israel for 8 years. Because when God send his people into the hands of these men or these kingdom, it is for training. It is for training that they might turn from their wickedness. So what we find, if then the Mesopotamian king mean double wickedness, then God raise up a deliverer, a savior. God raise up a savior. And this savior is Othniel. I understand that his name, Othniel, means the Lion of God. The Lion of God. So God raise up a lion to deal with him. But when we think of the one who is the Lion of God, one not only think of Othniel, one think also of the Lord Jesus, who is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Othniel is also from the tribe of Judah. He is Caleb's nephew. You know that old man, Caleb, who when he was 85, I think, He said, give me this mountain where Anak, the giants are. And he took them on. He and the same Othniel deal with them. Father and son-in-law and because Othniel married to Caleb's daughter. We can't get into that. And she asked for springs. And he gave her the upper spring and the lower spring. So these are persons, Othniel was drinking from the upper spring and the lower spring. And so he was able, more than able, to take on these Macedonians. We're drinking from the word of God. We are being filled up. And so we find that the world system cannot manage us. The devil and his tactics. So what we find then, we're going to, the lion of God has been raised up. And I should give you the reference for God's true lion over there in Revelations chapter 5. Let me just read it. Revelations chapter 5. Verses 5 to 7. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. He came and took the book and opened it. He is a worthy one. He is the one that has right to the earth. He is the one that can execute judgment upon the earth. He is the one that has power also to forgive sins, as he told the Pharisees. So, you remember when they were fighting back there in chapter 1, that they capture a place named Kirjathaim. They capture Kirjathaim, the people of Judah, and Caleb, and Othniel. And they change the name from Kirjathaim to Derby. Well, up there in the book room, it is a city of books. That is Kirjathaim. The city of books. You can get a books on practically every sensible topic in the book room. But then you need to turn it into Derby, the living oracles Derby, the living oracles of God. How we do that? By reading the books. Let us read some more, brethren. Let us read some more. And so Othniel has much going for him. He fought for his bride. For Caleb said, anyone who capture that mountain, I will give my daughter to him as wife. And it reminds me of Christ who fought for his bride. There are so many ways that Othniel remind us of the Lord. He fought for his bride. Christ went even unto death to get his bride. He battled this strong man. He defeated him, and he came out victorious. And he said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And has the keys of death and of hell. Or the other way around. Hell and of death. But the Lord have the key. And the key stand for authority. He could say, I am the one who open and no man close. I am the one who close and no man open. All authority is given unto him in heaven and in earth. He got his bride. He war with his uncle back to back against these nations. And so he came out in triumph. I'd like to point out something else, because I said tonight's meeting going to be short. I understand human weaknesses and so on. But in verse 10 of chapter 3, it said, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel and went out to war. And the Lord deliver him in Cushan Rishathaim. The Lord deliver up Cushan Rishathaim into his hand. The Spirit of God came on the man. We are indwelt by the Spirit of God. But in that time, the Spirit of God would come upon a person to perform a mighty deed, to perform works. You'll find when we get to Samson, how many times the Spirit of the Lord came upon him to accomplish what God wanted him to do. This is the crux of the matter. A man upon whom the Spirit of the Lord came. What are we told at Jordan River? That the Lord, when he was baptized and coming up out of the water, the Spirit descend and lighten upon him and remain upon him. The Spirit of God came in the form of a dove and sat upon him. This is the man in whom God could say, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. God could look at him in calm repose. Nothing repulsive about him. No sin in him. No disobedient. The obedient man, the man who is here for God's pleasure, the Spirit of God came upon him. And that was sufficient. With all the other accolades that he might have had, the Spirit of God came upon him, and that was sufficient. Because with the Spirit of God, he can do exploit. He can do wonderful things when the Spirit of God is working with us. And we are told not to grieve the Spirit. If we grieve him, he will not be pleased to work with us. If we quench him, he will not be pleased to work with us. But here is a man who he could work with. So the Spirit of God came upon him, and he did not tell us something, but it tells us that he judged Israel, and he go out and he make war, and he was successful in this war campaign that he carry on. That is wonderful, brethren. We are not called upon to, well, we are told that the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. The weapon of our warfare are spiritual. It is to pull down every imagination and every high thought that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and to bring it into obedience of Christ. That's the weapon. It's mighty. Mighty through God. There is a verse, I think it is in Zechariah. It says, not by, And he said, might, it means human might, not power, but by my spirit, said the Lord. It is the Spirit of God that is here, that is carrying on the work, that is working in us and working to glorify him. As the Lord Jesus says, he shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. That is what the Spirit of God is here doing. Not to glorify himself. Well, when the Lord was here, he was not here to glorify himself. He glorified the Father. He speak of the Father. He could say, I have manifest thy name unto the men whom thou hast given me. I have manifested God. So if you want to know who God is, just look at the Lord Jesus. He said, I am the Father. I and the Father are one. One. So, if they spit on him, who are they spitting on? They're spitting on God. If they believe on him, they're believing on God. Because he was here as God, manifest in flesh. And the Spirit of God was pleased to rest upon him. And John tells us that the amount of work that the Lord Jesus has performed, he supposed that if everything should be written down, that the world itself could not contain the books. In those short years that he was here as a man amongst men, a man for God, and he accomplished so much. But I want to think that although he accomplished so much in his lifetime, that there is no limit to what he has accomplished in his death. His death and his burial and resurrection accomplished so much more for God. So Othniel prevailed against Cushan-Rishathaim and discomfit them, vanquish them, and the land have rest for 40 years. The land have rest for 40 years. Them people don't come around here anymore, can't give them trouble. Why? Because Othniel was there. They're afraid of Othniel. They're not coming into his border. The land have rest while Othniel was there. But we are told that Othniel died. And that is the portion of every servant. It doesn't matter how greatly God uses us. We must know that we are going to be off the scene. But he lay a good foundation, and he set a good example, and he come to that point where he finished his work and he died. Beloved, that's all I want to say tonight, is that we might be available to the Spirit of God to use us to do exploit for him, to live lives for him, that we might drink of the spring, that we might turn the city of books to living oracles. May the Lord bless these few words for his name's sake.